Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025 The Game. I am back. Mark Howard with me today. And I'm going to be on a little bit of a pitch count. So, Mark, thank you, A, for stopping by earlier this week when I was not here, but also for being with us today. And let's just be honest, the people want more Mark Howard. So the more we can give them, the better.
Well, Jared, I got to say that you're an inspiration to the men, women, and children of the mid-state playing hurt like you are today. So we all are just in awe of you getting out of bed and sounding as good as you do.
I will say this. I never thought that once in my life that walking up the steps to do my job would be somewhat of a task. But apparently it is a little bit. Obviously, I announced earlier this week that I tested positive for COVID-19. I did have mild symptoms and am over a lot of it, still kind of dealing through some of it. But I know I'm not the first person to have COVID. I'm not going to be the last person to have COVID. I would just say that everybody, whatever it is to you or what it is to me or, you know, how it affects me does not mean that that's how it's going to affect you or how it could affect other people. And so for me, once I felt the first symptom, I just stayed my rear end at home. I went to Mobius Health, which is a concierge health service. Dr. Imran Huda does a great job. I literally, to get tested, went into the parking lot. He came out, rapid test right there, just me and him, came back positive. I have stayed in my house. I have not thought about venturing outside, and that would be my note for everybody. But, Mark, the people have got to hear what we think about the newest coach at the University.
Well, wait a second. You buried the lead, though. While the full-timers at the game have concierge service with their doctors. I'm impressed. I got to stand in line like the rest of the peasants.
Let me say this. It is, I would say, the easiest COVID testing I've ever done. And good. It's not as expensive as it would sound. Again, so if you're looking for it, Mobius Health, it's in St. Thomas West. But we do have to start on this Josh Heupel thing. And I would like to start with it because I do feel as if it's been somewhat of a clown show, not in the typical Tennessee fashion, but last night somebody said to me, what do you think of Josh Heupel? And I said, Josh Heupel, the UCF coach? I was like, I remember when he won the title at Oklahoma. I know he got fired at Oklahoma. I was like, the Vols aren't going to hire Josh Heupel as their head coach. What are you talking about? They're not going to hire Josh Heupel. And I didn't know who they were going to hire. And I don't even know if Josh Heupel is going to work out or not. But I was like, come on, they're not going to hire Josh Heupel. Then I woke up this morning and I saw that they were going to hire Josh Heupel. And I saw the fans going ballistic. I mean, just apoplectic. At how could they sell out and go out and get Josh Heupel? How can that be the best possible coach the Vols can come up with? And Mark, I'll be honest with you. Here's my take on it. And I liken the last three coaching searches in the history of the University of Tennessee, the 2012 search that led to Butch Jones. Everybody who brings up Kiffin and Dooley, and forget about that. I mean, you know, Kiffin, you know, bad hire because the guy's kind of crazy. Dooley, bad hire because he kind of sucked. Everybody hires, you know, bad coaches and you move on. The 2012 coaching search, the 2017 coaching search, and this coaching search. And this to me is like the Star Wars trilogy of bad coaching searches where everything is just all off the wall every time. And there's all these different characters and there's so much drama. And ultimately, the dark side of the force probably wins in the end. I mean, you go back all the way to the Larry Fedora and Charlie Strong saying thanks, but no thanks. And you end up with Butch Jones, followed by Greg Schiano boycotted, John Curry fired, Philip Fulmer brought in to save the program, to now the lawyers coming in, evicting Jeremy Pruitt, pretending not to dump Philip Fulmer, hiring the UCF athletic director, doubling his salary, paying his buyout. for him to go around and hire the coach at UCF that was his coach there, that you could, Jared Stillman could have been the athletic director at the University of Tennessee and could have made this hire. And I'm just looking at this in amazement. And all I can say, Mark Howard, and again, I have no idea if Heupel's going to work out or not. There was nothing about anything he said today in his press conference that resonated with me or turned me off to him. Danny White, that's a little different. We'll get to that in a second. But as far as Heupel is concerned and this whole hire and everything, all I can say for Vol fans that are upset and that are angry, look in the mirror. That's why Tony Elliott doesn't want to come. That's why Gus Malzahn doesn't want to come. That's why Luke Fickell doesn't want to come. That's why all these guys don't want to come to Tennessee. And the baseline guy, when he was interviewing with Dondi Plowman and Randy Boyd, I bet the baseline guy was, hey, if I can't get one of these hot prospect guys, I know at the end I can get Josh Heupel. And guess what? Josh Heupel's your coach. Now, he might do a good job at Tennessee, but I just, that's all I can say to Vol fans today is you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to suck it up. You might win. You might lose. But the reason people don't want to come here is because of you. And I think, like, Danny White tried to stress that at the press conference today. But, Mark, I think it's kind of true. I think that coaches are turned off by Tennessee because they've run out 13 people over the last three coaching searches.
Tell me what you really think. No. yeah, I think it's pretty apparent that Heupel was probably not Danny White's first choice. But let me first say, great AD hire. I will go down and say that. And the second thing is, be mindful of Danny White's batting average in the past and who he's hired. Lance Leopold at Buffalo. Nate Oates, the basketball coach, who, you know, rebuilt that program, took it to the NCAA tournament, and ended up at Alabama. Scott Frost. You know, Heupel's had a decent record. Frost was almost impossible to follow. But if you believe that the trend in college football is offense, 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 then they're bringing in a guy whose team at Central Florida had one of the best offenses in the country. As far as the rest of the staff, yeah, a lot of question marks. He'd probably be smart to stay with Kevin Steele as defensive coordinator, and also Kevin Steele as a recruiter. You know, who does he bring in? He's not known as an elite recruiter, Heupel. We all know that. I think we can also surmise that Danny White got turned down a few times by bigger names in the profession, and this is where he had to go. And coaching searches, that happens often. A lot of times you don't get your first choice. You don't get your second choice. I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just trying to explain it. But I'm not ready to bury Heupel yet, though.
Oh, I'm not either.
But I found it amusing at the press conference when they were preaching patience. And I'm thinking, do you know where you are? You know, you're at the University of Tennessee. Their fan base never has any patience. And now they got to go through a whole rebuilding process. I think a lot of good coaches, Jared, looked at this situation, saw looming NCAA sanctions, perhaps scholarship reductions, perhaps bowl bans or more, and decided to take a knee, you know, decided to really take a pass on this. So White and Heupel know each other well. There's not going to be a problem there. But yeah, this could be an extended rebuilding process. And most coaches don't have the stomach for that. Most coaches, you know, want to be quick change artists, and this one doesn't seem to have the material for it. You know, and now Josh Heupel has to go into the transfer portal and try to talk Henry 202 and a few others out of leaving, to, you know, that which would make a bad situation worse if they decided to transfer. So Heupel's got a lot on his plate. He's got a lot to do. And there are rightfully a lot of question marks about this hire. You know, as I mentioned, beginning with the fact that he's not known as an elite recruiter, he's going to have to hire a strong staff. I think he's going to get that. And I think it's important for, you know, that he knows the athletic director has his back. So I wouldn't jump off the ledge yet. I understand the consternation with Volunteer Nation, but slow your roll. It's like you said, yeah, look in the mirror and understand the situation they're in right now, and maybe love the one you're with.
And that's what they're I think. And I listened to both our morning show this morning when I woke up. I listened to a Knoxville radio show, and they were ready to jump off the deep end. I mean, they really, really were in Knoxville. It was actually quite entertaining. To me, there's two separate things, like two separate discussions. One, why did you have to end up with Josh Heupel, a guy that, you know, really wasn't what the fans wanted at all? And then the other part is, you know, can Heupel turn around Tennessee? I think those are two totally separate discussions. Can Heupel turn around Tennessee? I have no idea. But I would argue that nobody really has any idea. I mean, LSU wanted Tom Herman, and then he started playing footsie with them in Texas. And so then LSU got mad, and they pulled their offer to Herman, who was going to go to Texas anyways. And they said, no, we want a guy who wants to be here. We want Ed Orgeron. And everybody laughed and was like, you're going to hire Ed Orgeron? And they went on and won a national title. Texas ended up firing Tom Herman 5 minutes ago. You know, Scott Frost, you bring him up. Michigan and Nebraska are both programs, I think, like Tennessee, where they feel like they should be nationally relevant. Deep down inside, they're not, especially Nebraska. And they both got their number one choice for coach.
Yeah, Harbaugh, they're living proof, yeah.
I mean, they number one choice, and how are they doing right now? So, like, whether or not you get your number one choice, I don't think really means whether or not this guy's going to work out. I mean, it's like GameStop stock, right? Like, you know, you can buy GameStop stock right now, and it will probably go up, but who knows? I mean, there's no way of telling. Whereas, you know, the fact that Tennessee, that Tony Elliott doesn't want to talk to you, that Luke Fickell doesn't want to talk to you, that Gus Malzahn doesn't want to talk to you, that all these guys don't want to talk to you, just like Kevin Sumlin didn't want to talk to you, just like Jeff Brohm didn't really want to talk to you, just like all those other guys didn't want to talk to you when you ended up hiring Jeremy Pruitt, that's a reflection of you. Like, the craziness of Knoxville, Danny White knows where he is when he's talking about preaching patience. He knows the fans are crazy, but he's trying to set the standard. I don't think a press conference is how you're actually going to do it. But again, like, the fact that the fans are so crazy, so demanding, and so reactive is exactly why these other coaches don't want to come to Tennessee. They saw how Jeremy Pruitt got treated at the end. They saw what you did to Greg Schiano. They think Greg Schiano's a good coach. And I think Tennessee fans are slowly starting to realize that the negativity, the years and years and years of negativity, really has, not maybe not permanently, but certainly temporarily burned the program. And they're going to have to, you know, deal with the ramifications of it and hope that Heupel can be the one to clean it up.
They've got much better leadership. I can't sit here and tell you that Donde Plowman, is going to be, you know, the perfect leader. But I will say that Danny White is rock solid as AD. And I don't know where this is going to go. But I do. I think it's almost amusing that this has been summarily panned. You know, Tennessee fans prematurely surrendering because they didn't get the name that they wanted. And I always say, stop trying to win the press conference. I don't care about that. Yeah, people can get real excited off of the introductory press conference. But after that, what do you have? And you're right. Everybody thought Scott Frost was the perfect fit at Nebraska. Everybody thought that Jim Harbaugh was the man in Michigan. And we know how that's worked out. Now, I can sit here and I can give you a lot of reasons why this thing is going to fail. But all I can point to is that Danny White has had a pretty good batting average hiring coaches. That's all I can say. And so this is a big one. And I think he had a certain timetable in mind. And he did a good job of keeping things, pretty hush-hush. Heupel's name pretty much emerged yesterday. But I would, like I said before, I would imagine he got turned down a few times. I would expect him to get turned down a few times. You don't know unless you ask. So you ask, maybe some guys that you figure might turn you down. But it's come to this. I think he felt like Heupel was in his hip pocket. I think he felt like if worse came to worse, Heupel would be a solid choice. And, we'll never know that, but this is who's here.
It's kind of like a prom date. There's other girls you'd like to ask, but if they get asked first or they don't want to go, you always know that Cindy will go with you. And so ultimately push came to shove and it was time to get that tuxedo rented. And Danny White decided to ask the girl to the prom he knew would go with him.
So what are you saying? Heupel has a good personality and he's a good dancer?
I think that's a fair assessment
and he makes
of Heupel so far.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will take your calls. We will take your texts, your reaction, your thoughts on Tennessee. And as Mark, I think, lays it out perfectly, Danny White, if you liked him last week, you should still like him today. Because you don't know anything about Josh Heupel. I don't know. I mean, I know Josh Heupel won the national title when I was 10 years old at Oklahoma. And I remember that. And I remember they never played in the NFL. And that was back in the day where college quarterbacks that played in national championship games, did not go to the pros. Krenzel at Ohio State didn't. Ken Dorsey didn't. Eric Crouch didn't. Josh Heupel didn't. Chris Winkie. I mean, none of those guys were any good. And I remember when he got fired at Oklahoma. That's pretty much my knowledge of him. I know Missouri and UCF. Well, I can look at his Wikipedia page too. But nobody really knows much about this guy. So I guess that there's that thought. And then the thought of, man, the Cincinnati coach doesn't want to come here. The guy who got fired at Auburn doesn't want to come here. Nobody wants to come here. That's the other thought. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025, plus some of the things Danny White said today at the press conference. Did they stand out? What did we think? We'll discuss that next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Mark Howard is here, Stillman & Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.
We left no stone unturned. We talked to head coaches. We talked to coordinators. We talked to long-seasoned coaches, talked to young up-and-coming coaches. Character and integrity were extremely important from the jump. Told you guys that last week and will continue to be. I have zero questions about that with this guy. We want to build a program that we can all be proud of. And after vetting every single option we had, obviously landed with a familiar face in Josh Heupel. He was our number one option. This job was offered to one person. I know that there's a lot of rhetoric out there to the contrary, and that's just not true. We made one job offer. We got our number one candidate. I couldn't be more proud to have Josh as our new head football coach.
Danny White, Vols AD, Mark Howard, what do you think of the, we talked to all kinds of candidates. Exhaustive search. First of all, the guy's been here for a week, and he's sitting there saying, we did all this. We talked to all these people, but this was our number one choice. You know how? Because he's the only one we officially offered. What'd you make of that today, Mark?
Well, I agree with you. I think he was playing semantics. I think, you can have a conversation with hypotheticals where you're offering but not offering the job. And I don't think that Danny White, wanted to characterize that search as one where he had to go to his, number seven choice. But I have no doubt that he talked to a lot of people. I think he gauged their interest. And believe me, if you're vetting somebody, and they're anybody in the coaching fraternity, their representation, whether it's Sexton or somebody else, is going to call you up and you're going to gauge interest, you know, from his agent or his representation. So you'll know. And I'm just telling you, Tennessee is damaged goods. Tennessee undergoing a pretty intense NCAA investigation. The sanctions could be pretty severe, at least in terms of loss of scholarships. I don't even think they're worried about a bowl ban. They might self-impose when it comes to that. But also, too, you know, not a good reputation, as they really didn't want to pay Jeremy Pruitt his buyout to get rid of him. You know, and the other part of this is a lot of coaches in not a lot of years. And you look at Tennessee and you realize it's not the job it used to be. And right now, as great as the facilities are, it has potential, but you're going to have to wait. It's going to be a little bit of a rebuilding job.
So people are blowing up the text line with this, and our text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And they're saying, guys, we've waited for 12 years. Guys, what are we supposed to do when our administration goes out and makes the most inept, bottom-of-the-barrel hires possible? And I guess my response, in conjunction with what you just said, I guess maybe where I'm different than maybe others, is I don't want to hear Vol fans cry about this. I don't want to hear Vol fans upset that they didn't get their first choice. They vetoed a coach 3 years ago, and that got the athletic director fired. And in that, you got the athletic director you wanted, and he hired a coach that you all liked, and both of them were unmitigated disasters. So I just don't think that beggars can be choosers. And that's why, while I understand the pain of being a Vols fan, even though I'm not one, like, I understand what it's like when you're a fan of, like, how the Titans used to be, when Mike Munchak was the coach and then Ken Whisenhunt was the coach, and you wondered if this team was ever going to be good again. And, I mean, I understand, like, what that's like, and yet at the same time, I would just say I feel like Vol fans are culpable in kind of the mountain of misery that they're going through right now. So I guess I just don't have a ton of sympathy, because I feel like they helped get themselves to the place they are right now.
Well, and Danny White is sort of paying the sins of his predecessors, and there's nothing he can do about that. Now, Donte Plowman, you know, pretty much, and Randy Boyd, you know, pretty much greenlighted the gaslighting of Jeremy Pruitt, and they had to know that there was going to be some blowback, and I'm sure that occurred during the coaches' search. But Danny White, with if we're led to believe, we'll talk to John Adams about this, minimal booster interference, went out and found his own coach and didn't have to, you know, call in to John Thornton or call in to, you know, to Jimmy Haslam or somebody like that. He went out and found his own guy, and we'll see how it works out for him. But yeah, I understand Tennessee fans, you know, maybe not being happy. They thought they would get a bigger name, but that's the reality. That's where your program is right now. And let's see what happens.
Plus, the guy who's had a little bit of success at UCF and scores a bunch of points, I mean, that is kind of par for the course for a Power 5 program to hire that guy to be a coach. You know, I mean, I think that everybody has this idea that when you're a Power 5 proud program, that you should just go out and hire an established, bona fide, superstar coach every single time that a coaching opening happens. But Ohio State, when Urban Meyer left, didn't go out and hire another Urban Meyer. And Alabama only got Nick Saban once because, you know, Rich Rod turned down the job, and then all of a sudden they scrambled and went and gave Saban a boatload of money, and there was a Saban out there to be had. Most jobs that open up in the Power Five are either filled by a coordinator like Jeremy Pruitt was, or a coach who's had success at the in the Group of Five. And that's just kind of how that's kind of the way it naturally works out. I mean, Clark Lee.
How is this much different than what Auburn did? Now, there are subtle differences between Brian Hartson and Josh Heupel, but essentially, Auburn and Tennessee pretty much did the same things.
I figured that with Jim Harbaugh, and Harbaugh's the one I always harp to. Like, one thing that I'll do that other people won't do is they won't ever there are other people that just will not throw their hands up and say, man, I was so wrong about that. And I have absolutely no problem. Now, Mark, part of this is probably because I am wrong a lot of the time. And it's very easy to remember, you know, it's when you're wrong all the time, you know, you can always pick things up. But I thought Harbaugh to Michigan was a slam dunk. I thought that was like Saban to Alabama. I thought that was Urban to Ohio State. I thought that was, you know, that was a no doubter for sure. Give the man the money, get Michigan back to being great. And Harbaugh's had a good year or two where, you know, he was a game away from the playoff, but he's really been a disappointment. And that, when I look at that, I say, you know what? You never know when you hire a coach and there are a bunch of, you know, extenuating circumstances, especially at Tennessee, you never know. Floyd told me one time, I asked him, I said, when you and Nick worked together, did you think that Nick Saban was going to be Nick Saban? And he told me, I thought he was a good coach. Did I think he was going to be the greatest coach in the history of NCAA football? No. But I thought he was a good coach. Like, that's kind of where we don't know with this stuff. And so maybe Vol fans loved all the other hires, so maybe this is the best one because they don't like it.
No, and, you know, Danny White has had pretty good success finding coaches. And I think that's important to note. When they brought him in here, I'm sure that's one thing he demanded, that he choose the coach, that you don't get, you know, 12 other cooks, you know, involved in this meal. You know, that he was going to go out and determine who would be the best person, because that's what, you know, his job performance is going to be evaluated on. So I don't think he did this recklessly. And I still think, and it'd be fascinating to know, who did he ask, you know, who turned him down? And usually we find out years later, you know, we find out the alternate history of, you know, how Chip Kelly almost went to Florida and Dan Mullen ended up in Tennessee. Didn't happen, but it's always fun to talk about. Well, maybe we'll have a similar conversation in a few years.
615-737-1025. We'll get to your texts. And if you want to get in the phones, we'll open them up. 615-737-1025. Mark Howard is here with me, Stillman and Company. We are delivered by TriStar Moving. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. TriStar Moving. I love those guys. They take such great care of me when I moved, and I promise you that they will take such great care of you. Every single person I know hates moving, especially me. That's when I found my friends at TriStar Moving. At TriStar, you'll get five-star service throughout the entire process, and that's why their motto is TriStar Moving with five-star service. Everything was taken care of in my house, from the railings and banisters, front door thresholds, the door itself, wrapping and protecting all of the furniture, and putting the TVs in protective boxes. They even offer storage services in case you need a safe place for all of your things. The owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they truly care about helping the community any way they can. If you're looking to move, go to nashvillemoving.org/radio for my friends at TriStar Moving. That's nashvillemoving.org/radio. They'll give you 5% off your entire move. nashvillemoving.org/radio. TriStar Moving, my official movers. Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think one of the things that's extremely important to the lifeblood of any program, but to the lifeblood here at Tennessee, is recruiting. And that's one of the great things here, is that you have a national name, national logo that allows you to go coast to coast and go attract the biggest, the best, and the brightest. At the same time, the most important thing that we do is lock down our borders. We have to keep kids inside of this state here. And that's for multiple reasons. They're going to come play championship caliber football. They're going to be developed. They're going to have an opportunity to move on to the NFL. They're going to get a great degree. And they're going to be empowered to live inside of the state once they are done with that degree. But we have to do that inside of our own borders. And that's going to come for me, a focus on the recruiting in-state for me. It's got to transcend through our assistant coaching staff. But it's also got to reside in every Vol fan here inside the state of Tennessee. And I say that meaning that everybody's got to bring energy and passion, create and sustain a positive movement through everything that we're doing to create the sustainable change that we need to lock down the borders here with our recruits.
Everybody's got to be positive, Mark Howard. That coming from the new head coach, Josh Heupel of the Tennessee Volunteers. Everybody has to be positive. Think that's going to happen?
Yeah, I think that, you know, inside the building, as far as the culture is concerned, I think there's going to be harmony. I really do. I mean, you've got the AD and the coach on the same page. You don't have the AD sort of lurking, you know, and maybe hanging out a little bit too much at the football facility, which a lot of people accused Fulmer of. But here's the other thing, Jared. We are coming upon 2021 and 2022 is a crucial recruiting year in the state of Tennessee. And I think Danny White wanted to get his ducks in a row to try to salvage this class and get to work on the 21-22 class. I call it that because the early signing day, you know, was in December. And then, of course, you finish up in February. But this is one of the biggest years in terms of talent level in this state. So, yeah, locking up the borders becomes even more urgent for Heupel, who comes on a little bit late. I mean, these kids have been recruited for a few years now, so he's going to be playing from behind. And this is going to be another test as far as the staff that he hires. But as far as Heupel coming in, hype is probably a good description. Danny White likes his football, fast-paced and exciting. That's what he had at Central Florida. That's what he had at Buffalo. And you're going to get a lot of offense, a team that should be fun to watch at Tennessee. But be, you know, but again, understand that last year, Central Florida, its defense ranked 123rd in the nation. That's not going to fly in the SEC. So think Ole Miss, you know, all the crazy games they were in this past year under Lane Kiffin. And that's something similar that you're going to get, I think, at Tennessee.
Texter says, Jared, maybe it's in the best interest for Vol Nation that UT didn't hire a big-name coach, being that it can only go up to here with low to no expectations as fans. Being a Nebraska alum, everybody thought Scott Frost was going to come in and be the savior from the get-go, and it does not work like that when you're starting with a pile of rubble. You have to rebuild, and it takes time. The key word for that, for me, is time. Because I heard Greg McElroy say, you got to give him time. You got to give him time. And everybody said that about Butch, and they gave him time, and then they turned on him. And everybody said that about Pruitt, and they kind of gave him time, and then, you know, they turned on him. I mean, when they say give him time, that's easy to say today. But are they going to be able to give him time 4 years from now when they're winning six games and saying, no, see, we made a little bit of progress, and I don't know if they're actually going to be able to do that.
Well, the problem with Butch and the problem with Pruitt was after some initial success, and Butch had a lot more, the program obviously backslid, you know, to an unacceptable point. And then there's the other, you know, and this is something that we've seen now in college football, which wasn't exactly apparent 10 or 15 years ago, but it's the reason why the elite teams remain elite. And I'm talking about Alabama and Clemson, because not only do they recruit well, they develop well. And that's something that Tennessee has to be good at. It's not enough to, you know, rake in these highly ranked recruiting classes if the players don't get any better. I think we all thought that last year Tennessee's biggest asset would be its offensive line. That was not the case. And that was, you know, in my opinion, one of the big reasons why that team absolutely tanked. You know, you've got to have a strong coaching staff. You know, you've got to have teachers. You've got to be able to recruit kids and develop them. And otherwise, you know, you've got all these great washouts. And I keep saying it. You just don't see that at the elite schools. Yeah, they always get the best players, but they also develop them and make them better. So that's something that's got to happen with Heupel and whatever staff he puts together.
So we'll get back into your texts and your calls, 615-737-1025. I'm kind of on a pitch count today. So coming up next, Mark is going to get into this with Joe. Now, Mark, I need you to Joe Rexroad, when he comes on the show and debates something that's UT or something, really anything, he and I get into it. And I don't feel like I have the heat in me today. So I'm going to need you in spirit to get
that's
after
fine.
As I nicknamed him when he was at the Tennessee in Bad Take Joe. I'm sure Joe has some kind of off the wall, terrible take that, about all of this, just like his terrible takes about Jerry Stackhouse and everything else. But that is coming up next. So Stillman and Company right here. And I appreciate, by the way, Chase and Chris Sanders and Mark and everybody else who stepped up the last couple of days while I'm out. It is always, always appreciative. And to everybody who sent me a note, I got all of them, and I appreciate all of them as well. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
.248 on Stillman & Company on 102.5 The Game. Mark Howard, pinch hitting for Jared, who's taking a little breather for a few minutes. Let's bring in, of course, Joe Rexroad of The Athletic and, of course, of The Morning Show. Joe, good afternoon.
Mark, great to hear your voice. How you doing?
I'm good. All right, what's your initial take on Josh Heupel getting brought in as Tennessee's next football coach?
Pretty bad. Pretty bad hire, if you want the truth. I mean, you can spin this into, what's his resume compared to, recent Tennessee hires? He has a winning record. He has good offensive numbers. This was not on the radar. I mean, it was almost a joke when Danny White was asked about it a week ago by Mike Bianchi in the presser, and then a week later he's hired him. And I mean, obviously he says, Danny White says number one choice today, but we all know how it works. Search firms find out yeses and nos before you ever approach any kind of actual offer. There's one offer made, and I think this was a case of Tennessee striking out a lot, but I think that there were other places to look that I don't think Danny White looked before going here. He always could have done this. And I'm just not optimistic based on, really the trajectory of that program since Josh Heupel took it over. It has not been good. It is going the wrong direction. And I don't know that he can recruit, put together a defense and have Tennessee anywhere close to, getting to Atlanta.
Kind of strange because the hiring of Danny White pretty much registered a euphoric response from yeah. most of Volunteer Nation, but now this.
No, it's amazing, right? I mean, and when that happened, I mean, it was like, wow, they are not messing around. They went right out and they got they got a big time rising star in the profession. And so you're like, okay, wow, could this job intrigue someone that maybe wouldn't have given Tennessee a real look before? Because I think clearly any coach out there who would be, worthy of this job is going to have a lot of questions about how things have gone down there. And then a week later, it's like, oh, so then he brought the coach with him, and it's like a complete sad trombone, wah wah. I mean, that's really what it's like. And you know what? Hey, maybe we're all wrong. Winning right now doesn't ultimately matter in the end. Winning the press conference, winning over the fans and media doesn't matter. I just have real concerns. it's funny because last week when he was hired, the first thing I think people said about him was that this guy has an incredible eye for coaches. You know, I mean, look at what he's, I mean, finding NATO, it's yeah. Lance Leopold, all these things. But, you know, a friend of mine in the industry in college football, you know, we were kind of talking about it, and he was like, well, except Heupel. I mean, look, you know, I don't think you should give him high marks for that hire, because look at what's happened since Scott Frost left. And it is a small sample. I mean, you know, and it's a COVID year. So, I mean, you could even look at that and say, well, you know, who knows? Was it going to plummet, crash to earth in the next few years? I don't know. But it's just, he's not the rising star in his profession, you know, that Danny White is. And frankly, Mark, I believe this. I think Danny White is a big-time hire and is in for the long haul, and that's still good for Tennessee athletics long-term. And I think there's a very good chance that he gets another football hire, and it may not be all that many years down the road.
Did this search seem a little too fast for you? You know, he was intent on making this announcement. They kept talking about Wednesday, but I kept thinking, you know, why not take a few more days? What's your take on the speed of this?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, absolutely. You know, if every single, you know, viable candidate had been approached in that time, you know, then that's one thing. But, I mean, look, I do think, like, I personally think a Jamie Chadwell would have been a more attractive hire. I think a Billy Napier would have been a more attractive hire. I think a Will Healy would have been a more attractive hire than Josh Heupel. And all indications are none of them got a look. And the same is true of Lane Kiffin. And I, you know, look, with Lane Kiffin, like, personally, I think you have to make bold moves like that, you know, if you really want to shake things up and come back. But I understand the hesitation, too. And certainly, I mean, Hugh Freeze is a non-starter all the way, because Hugh Freeze actually has been caught doing all the things that everyone says you don't do, even though we all know that you have to do them. But yes, Mark, to go at your question, I do. I think, like, does it have to be today? Can't you? I mean, this could have happened Friday, Monday. I understand, like, the second signing day time crunch and just the overall urgency, but why are you going to, you know, your safety plan fallback now?
You get the sense this program was a tough sell between NCAA sanctions and, you know, the perceived pressure, the perceived fishbowl aspect of it?
Well, in particular, the fishbowl part of it, yeah, I mean, but I think most coaches, when they weigh everything, it's like, you know what, I'll take a place that can fill up a 100K stadium, you know? I mean, yeah, obviously this fan base is long-suffering and rabid, and, you know, that stuff can get tough on you. But I think most coaches will still sign up for what that all means, the resources that comes with that. You know, I think that most coaches are okay with that. And if not, they're probably not, you know, even going to be up for something like this. But I think the sanctions, yes, and I don't think necessarily the concern about, like, the program being – know, crippled for years. I mean, I do think Tennessee is going to face something significant, but I think it's more, how did this happen, and why did Tennessee, you know, sign up for these kinds of sanctions? I mean, obviously there's a buyout here at stake, but I mean, how did that come about? I would have serious questions about that if I were a coach. And I think that, I mean, honestly, Mark, last search, I was surprised at some of the coaches who did not want the job, who, of course, that was a very public search. Like, every day we kind of got, here's the newest guy that John Curry's talking to, and here's the newest guy who just turned him down. And I couldn't figure that out. And that was before Schiano and all this stuff. I think the fan, fans as a deterrent is overblown, but I do think that dysfunction as a deterrent is very important here. I mean, I really think all coaches who have been in this business long enough know, I mean, you better have everything on the same page, everyone on the same page, chancellor, president, you know, board, your board of trustees, your AD, and you better have boosters in check. I mean, you need them. You need their money, but you also can't have them meddling too much, and I think that's been the perception of Tennessee and the coaching community for quite a while now.
This one seemed to be, though, at least – the way it was reported,
You know, Danny White came in and he pretty much said, I'm going to find my coach. I don't want booster interference.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and that's the thing, and I believe that. You know, I think it's more like booster interference. Like, oh, now you're on a 3-game losing streak. And, now what's going on over here, guys? I mean, obviously, I heard, and I was not around, but in the late times of Fulmer, I've heard from some people who weren't there that it got bad in that way. And you know, look, that doesn't make Tennessee. I mean, that doesn't make Tennessee unique, right? I mean, it's the SEC. You know, go to the Big Ten. Go to any big time program. You're going to have some of that. These people fund everything you do. But yeah, no, I think that this search was all him, and I think he had that power. And I think that's why when he got hired, a part of the excitement was, I wonder if some coaches look at this and say, okay, they actually have an AD with some clout, with some achievement to his name. You know, with frankly, I mean, obviously, he's like the royal family of ADs, and someone who I don't think takes that job if he isn't going to be able to do it. And so maybe that means the coach has his support and is kind of shielded from all that other crap. You know, so that's why, you know, I thought maybe some candidates who would have been hesitant might have been a little more open to the job, but. You know, of course, we don't know the full nature of various conversations, but again, I could list several coaches that I haven't listed already that I would be more interested in than Josh Heupel based on what we know of him.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic and The Morning Show. Thanks a lot, buddy. Always good to speak to you.
All right, Mark. Always good speaking to you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Straight ahead, we'll bring Jared back, and we'll talk more about the Tennessee hire of Josh Heupel. Preds won last night. They go again tonight as they look for a sweep of the Blackhawks. You're listening to Stillman & Company on 102.5 The Game.